Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I've been loving this fasting and praying a series, God First. I love as a church we start the year off putting God first, kind of realigning, reshifting. Maybe like this year, 2018 was tough. Certain things happened and it kind of took us in a misalignment from what God has for us. But we start the year off strong. We start it with God and we get realigned. So I'm excited today to preach to you. I'm excited because after the third service, I'm going to get some fried chicken. It's been on my mind. Some of you look like fried chicken to me. Just kidding. I just picture seeing fried chicken in the... No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to eat you. Don't worry. I have the word of God. Hey, who brought their Bibles today? Who brought their Bibles? Pastor Greg has this thing in the East Campus. He says, BYOB, bring your own Bible or bring your openable Bible. But I'm not going to judge. If you want to read your Bible on the phone, that's fine. But I'm going to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church, to underline, to write. This is not a religious thing where you can't write in your Bible. Or get a Bible that actually has a part to put notes in there. Yeah, so you could write in this Bible, but here's the thing. When you write and when you underline, when you absorb these scriptures, it internalizes everything. And we need to internalize this. We need to soak this in. We need to eat it up because this is the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus. If you want to get to know Jesus more, you read this because this is Jesus in a book. And we get this access. We get to read it whenever we want. So I'm going to encourage you. We are a church that bring our openable Bibles. Amen. And we also bring our notebooks like Emily and Brittany, who are already writing notes. They're like, okay, bring my openable Bible next Sunday, every Sunday. Because I haven't even started yet, but they're writing notes. So it's amazing. So bring your notebooks. Take notes. If you want to take notes on your phone, that's cool too. But I'm telling you, those notes are going to help you throughout the week. We want to make sure as a church that we're not just hearing the message on Sunday and then forgetting about it. But we're going to internalize. We're going to take it in. We're going to read it throughout the week. Because who knows, the thing you're going through during that week, that Sunday's message is probably going to help you. It's going to be a reminder to you to overcome. Amen? Amen. So, how many of you guys love Costco? Oh, come on. How many of you guys love Costco? I love Costco. I got saved 4 years ago when Katie took me to Costco. I'm just kidding. But she took me to Costco, and I was like, I don't need Costco. I'm a Walmart guy. You know, my dad works at Walmart. I am loyal to that. And then she's like, but Jerry, you don't understand. Bulk is different. Buying in bulk is way better. So she took me to Costco because she had a membership, and it was an amazing experience. It was like Disneyland for me. I was like, oh, my gosh, the prices. You know, it's good deals. It's great. All those chicken thighs I get for like $20, it's crazy. But then you're going to go to the lineup, to the cash register. And that's when all hell breaks loose. It's crazy, all the lineups. And it's like, which line do I choose? Oh, my gosh, I don't like Costco anymore. Like, what do I do? So Katie and I found, and because I love you guys, I'm sharing with you guys, there is a Costco in East York that is not as busy as the Etobicoke one. So if you want to go to East York, you're more than welcome to go to that one. It's going to be a more pleasurable experience for you. Anyways, back to this. The lineups are crazy. So when I get to the lineup, I'm like observing. I'm looking. I have my radar on. I'm judging. I'm like, okay, this person here is not good to judge. But this person here is going slower than the person here. Okay, so she's my next one. But then the next cashier, he has a friend that's helping him out, which is interesting because they don't bag for you. They just, I don't know what they do. But it looks better and it looks like it's faster. So then you go there, right? It's like, okay, we're locked in. This is our line. But then what happens is we get tempted along the way, along the waiting, along the of developing patience. And then it's like, oh my gosh, Katie, this line is moving faster. I'm going to jump over to that line. And then you jump over to the next line. And then you jump over to the next line. Or you just jump one line. Up to you. I'm a four-line jump, like a lot. But then you look at the line you were originally in, and it's actually moving faster. And the person who was behind you is actually cashed out, checked out. And I'm like, yes, what is right? And I'm like, I'm still in line. Lord, help me. I feel like God sometimes is saying something to us there. I think sometimes we're so tempted to move and go our own way and go in our own line because we think it's faster. We think it's quicker. We think it's a quick out. But God wants us to remain in line. Remain in the line that he has you. The title of this message is called Remain in Line. Remain aligned. See, there's a line between you and God. There's a connection you have between you and God. The relationship that you have with Jesus has power. The relationship you have with Jesus has fruit. The relationship you have with God can get you through anything. It's like there's a line to heaven, a connection to heaven, that when you depend on him, when you need him, heaven opens up and you get to draw the power of God. You get to draw from that. But when I go to a different line, a line of my choice, a line that's not of God's line, a line that feels like it's going to be better, I don't get to draw on that same power. I draw on my own strength. And my strength fails me most of the time. We need to be a church that remains in line to God. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. The true vine. What does that mean, church? That means there's some false vines. That means there's some fake vines. That means there's some vines that are going to always fail you. What are those vines? Because the disciples were about to go out and carry out this great mission. But God's like, listen, Jesus is like, I need you to stay attached to me. Because in that attachment, in that connection, you will be able to do all things. But there's some things you won't be able to do without me. So Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Say prunes. How many of you guys love prunes? I hate it, but I love this word prune, that God prunes us for what it's worth. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So that means he has already pruned you to start this off, to start this race, to start this relationship with you. You are already clean. You are already pruned. You're ready to go. But what happens is sometimes things come at us and we're going to go through another pruning process. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch could bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Interesting, eh? So we could only bear fruit as branches as long as we're connected to the vine. Which also means the vine cannot bear any fruit unless the branches is connected to the vine. Let me tell you something, church. God is depending. As much as we depend on him, he's actually depending on you for something. He's actually depending on you to bear some fruit. He's actually depending on you to go into this city and tell people about Jesus. He is depending on you to get the gift that you receive is the gift that you're going to give. He is depending on all of us. It is an invitation. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The branch is lifeless in itself. There is a power flow coming from the vine to the branch. And that's what's bringing the fruit out. It says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. So some s'mores could be made. Or hot dogs. I'm feeling the s'mores, though. What about you, Josh? Okay, always, right? With some Cadbury UK chocolate. We have this thing. Okay, I'll keep going. Katie said, come on. Sorry, fasting brain. You just want to focus on the food, but. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This word, this Bible, the prayer language, the voice of God, if you keep that in you, he will remain in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You could say praise the Lord in church. You could say amen. You could shout me down. Whatever you want to do. That's our church. Oh, yeah. Verse 8. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Point 1. Trust the true vine. Trust the true vine. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own ways. There's ways you want to go on. There's ways you want to choose. There's ways that you're tempted to take on. Don't lean on those ways. Trust the God with all your heart. And then it says, and in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge means accept and admit the existence and the truth of. It doesn't say acknowledge God in one way. It doesn't say acknowledge God in the way of your relationship. It doesn't say acknowledge God in the way of your finances because it's so hard right now. It doesn't say to acknowledge God in the way of family and bringing up these kids. It's so hard to bring up these kids. It's a little bit of a worry that I have. I'm really praying that our baby girl is going to be kind and nice to me as she comes out. Keep praying. I will keep praying, whoever said that. I don't need to keep praying, actually. I already thank God, so the prayer is done. Boom. Hey, there are many ways. The question is, are we acknowledging God in all of our ways? Because here it says this, in the last it says, and he will make straight your path. He will make your path straight. He will direct your path. Remain in me as I remain in you. So if we allow God to remain in us, he will actually direct our paths. He will actually show where the straight path is. Remain in line. A few years ago when we started off prayer and fasting, and Pastor Sam introduced us, like, hey, we're going to start the year off with this. And I was like, oh, sweet. I've done this. You know, I did a missions thing for a couple years, and we prayed and fasted. On Wednesdays, breakfast and lunch, and we would pray for a country, a nation. And so I was like, oh, yeah, awesome, sweet. And then he said, it's 21 days. And I was like, oh, just felt humbled right there. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is full on. And at first it was like, man, this is going to be challenging. This is going to be tough. But because in the beginning of that prayer and fast, I find that I wasn't really aligned to God. I wasn't aligned to what he had planned for me. I was kind of doing my own thing. Some things I was acknowledging him. I was acknowledging me in my finances, but there was other things that I wasn't acknowledging him with. And it didn't feel like it was a straight path. It actually felt like I was going in circles. And so I committed myself. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the Daniel fast, fruits and veggies, because I'm a meatitarian. That's my thing. It's like a thing I believe in. I eat a lot of meat. I love meat. Sometimes I find a little bit too much joy in meat. So I felt like God said, hey, you're going to give this up because I want you to find your joy in me. So I did so. I knew I had to commit. Before that prayer and fasting, I kept on almost like I was complaining to God. I was like, God, when is my turn? You know, God, when is this line going to move forward? Why am I still in this line? I want to go to the next line. Why is everything not working out for me? Why did I not get that promotion? Why did I not get that job at Shopify and get free lunch every day or Uber Eats? Come on, I see those Insta stories. Why can't I be in that story and get free lunch? Come on, I know you're with me. Thanks, Tommy. Why? Why am I still here? Why am I moving forward? When is it going to happen for me, God? When is it going to happen? And I realized something. I realized I wasn't acknowledging God in all my ways. I wasn't acknowledging him in all my ways. That's why my path didn't feel straight. And after that prayer and fasting was actually when my prayers changed, my language changed. Instead, the only desire I had was to get close to God. The only desire that I had was to get a hunger for his word. Instead of looking at this Bible on the coffee stand, watching it, saying it, I'm going to read it eventually, I started going to it right away, opening it up and feeding on this word. Why is it that we still look at the Bible and we're like, oh my gosh, I could do this later? Why do we do that? We're setting ourselves up for a disadvantage there. But you know when you read your Bible, there's life coming out of this Bible. You know when you read your Bible, you're understanding who Jesus is. And then when you get to understand who Jesus is, you understand who he is in your life. That when you put your dependence and you rely on him, he always comes through. Do we acknowledge God in our finances, yet we still withhold being generous when the offering goes by? Do we acknowledge God in our relationships? But then when God asks you for your full devotion, you still don't break up with that person. You still date that person. What is it, church? Do we acknowledge God daily? Or is it weekly? Or is it monthly? Or is it seasonally? And that's why we still have the same worries every day. You know, for 2 years ago, so this is the second fasting, prayer and fasting series of the new year, I was struggling in my relationship with Katie, and I was wondering, how is this going to work? How is this going to happen? You know, she saw herself in the prairies in Saskatoon. And I was like, who the heck wants to be in Saskatoon? This is nothing compared to the cold and snow there. Sorry, Denise, we have a friend from Saskatoon. She still lives there. But the grace of God is on you. Amen. Toronto's where it's at. This church is flipping amazing. I love C3 Toronto. The mission, the vibe, the Holy Spirit, the leadership. It's amazing here. People have moved from Australia to come to this church, to come to the cold. They're sitting in the front row. And that part of the front row, Marie. And God said, it's like, hey, have you acknowledged me in this way? Have you even asked me what I thought? Because I was so thinking that God was in my calling and my calling was here in this church. So I can't do anything to disrupt that calling. So I thought it was God, but it wasn't God because I didn't even ask him. What are the things we're not asking God? What are the things that we're not giving to him? And here's the thing. When you're able to acknowledge him in the way that you're concerned with, when I was able to acknowledge him in the way of my relationship, he made a way. Because the way he made is now that we are together, we are campus pastors at this church, and we have a baby girl coming on the way. Can we acknowledge God in all of our ways? There's no such thing as being half in, or quarter in, or 3/8 in. That's not acknowledging God in all your ways. That's acknowledging God in some of your ways. That's why we have this thing called hashtag all in. You'll see the shirts with the baptism, because we believe in full immersion here. We believe that you are all in Christ Jesus. You're not half in. You are all in. That's why they go all the way down, head to toe, full in water, because it's a symbolic action of Jesus taking over their life, of Jesus leading their life. And that's what we believe as a church. There's no such thing as being partial in. My second point, remain in God continuously, not occasionally. Remain in God continuously, not occasionally. After the fasting season, it is so important, church, that we continue to remain in God. It is easy. It is tempting to, after this 21 days, when you go eat your fried chicken or your juicy cheeseburger or you turn on your Netflix or your Instagram, you still remain in him. You can still do those things, but now you're aligned. You are realigned to him, where you're going to put him first over those things no matter what. Are we remaining in God occasionally or continuously? I love this example from Samson. You guys know Samson and Delilah? That song, hey there, Delilah. Dun, dun. Oh, what you do to me. I always think about Samson and Delilah when I hear that song. Because Delilah, that's what Samson would have been singing. Oh, Delilah, what you've done to me. She nagged him. She enticed him. Until he revealed his secret that his hair had his strength. She got the Philistines, they cut their hair, they captured him, and it gets a bit gory. They took his eyes out. Anyways, but there's hope. I'm just kidding. But right before that story is a story I want to talk about. This is where his misalignment led to his demise. This is where his misalignment led to not being connected to the true vine. And Judges 14. It says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. So this is a different woman. This is a woman who's not of his culture. It's like, man, this girl is fine. Oh my gosh. She's got some auburn red hair, some green eyes, some beautiful freckles. Oh my gosh. She's pregnant. He didn't say it. She's lovely. Whew. And he does the Sri Lankan thing where he goes to his parents and he's like, hey, you need to arrange something here. I need an arranged marriage to that woman. Right? That didn't happen with us, but right, because you're that good looking. Check this. Verse 2. When he returned, he said to the father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. Boy, he's lucky he's strong. Otherwise, his parents should have slapped him. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among our people? That is something my mom would say. Isn't there an acceptable woman in your culture? That's what she would say. But then I said, oh, but wait a minute. Katie's a doctor and she loves Jesus. And mom's like, let's do this. And then, but Samson replied to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. check it. Samson was only remaining in God or pursuing God when it came to war. He wasn't pursuing God when it came to the other things. Church, what do we go to God on occasion? God is not an occasional God. He's not a part-time God. He's not a once-in-a-while type God. He is a God that we remain in, that we go to always. When do we go to God on occasion? Is it during November and December when we got crazy exams? You got to go? Yeah, go. It's all good. That's my boy. That's my intern. It's all good. He didn't want to disrupt. Love you, bro. When do we go to God on occasion? Do we go to God when our relationship is deteriorating? And it's like, this is my only hope. I got to work this out. Do we go to God when we just lost our job and now I have no hope? What am I going to do? How am I going to earn money? Is that the occasion we go to God? Do we go to God just when our visa expires? Do we go to God when I don't know, there's loss in our family? How do I get past this loss? 100% you could go to God. The question is, do we go to God after we get our breakthrough? The question is, when Josh Ray said that God has provided him for his rent every time, do we still go to God after he's provided the rent? Do we go to God continuously? Do we remain in God continuously? That's what remain in him means. It doesn't mean you're half in, half out. It doesn't mean you go to God occasionally. It means that you remain, you stay, you don't depart, you endure, you keep going, you never give up. That's what remain is. And he will remain in you. Right? It says that he will direct your paths. Your paths will be straight. If you acknowledge him in all your ways and you remain in him. It's the relationship. There's a relationship you have with Jesus. How do you grow a relationship with someone? You get to know them, right? How do you grow a relationship with someone you're dating? You get to know them. You spend time with them. You get to understand who they are. How do you grow your relationship with Jesus? You get to know him, right? You get to read this Bible. You get to see him come alive in this Bible. You pray to him. You talk to him. When you have a relationship with someone, you talk to them. You communicate to them. So you pray to them. And then the other part is you actually listen to them. You hear his voice. See, Samson, the strength wasn't in Samson's hair. That was the covenant he had with God. The connection was the relationship Samson had with God. But he worked against that relationship by pursuing the false vine. He worked against that relationship pursuing a fake vine. He thought he could get his strength from Delilah. He thought he could get his strength from the Philistine woman. But he forgot something. He forgot something so key. But his true source of strength was actually God. If he was continuously pursuing God, continuously remaining in God, I think we would have saw a different story in Samson's life. If we remain in him and he in us. And then it says also, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. These are the words. Your prayers are going to change. Your faith is going to change. The stories in this Bible, if these words are in me, I'm going to be letting faith build up in me. I don't need to ask God for faith. I know there's faith because I'm reading this and I'm believing it. Faith is being built up. So my prayers change naturally. Because I understand who my God is. I understand who Jesus is. Is it possible that our unanswered prayers were never aligned with God? Is that possible? It says here in Judges 16, it says that God finally departed from him when he gave his secret, his covenant, this special thing, that brought his relationship to God. When he gave that out, when he let this Delilah know, God departed from him. The key thing with God departing from him, it actually means he took his supernatural strength away. God will never leave you. But in this case, because the Bible says that apart from me, you can do nothing, right? As the branches and the vine, apart from me, you can do nothing. He wasn't able to do the things that God has called him to do anymore. I love this in verse 2. It says, the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would even be more fruitful. He prunes. You know, going through this fasting and prayer season, he's pruning us. He's cutting off things that we've been relying on and we've been substituting for him. Because he wants to know he is the true joy. He is the true life. You don't need to go to those things. I remember Katie, even last night, she was making some fish cutlets, frozen fish cutlets. And let me tell you, that smell was so sweet. Because I haven't had any fish or meat. But God was pruning me. He was saying, hey, listen, you're going to stop finding joy in your food and you're going to start finding joy in me. You're going to start coming to me for this. You're going to stop finding joy in your Netflix and you're going to find joy in my word. You're going to stop finding joy in those relationships and those people who keep on gossiping and talking bad things so you makes you feel better, but you're going to start talking to God. Because when you talk to God, he shall lift you up. When you talk to God, his word is true. When you talk to God, he believes in you. And when you talk to God, you will understand who you are in Christ. That he does have a plan for you to prosper you and not to harm you. The definition of pruning is cutting, which sounds not that great. But it actually is. That's the Wikipedia definition. We don't trust Wikipedia, right? This is the real one. This is like Merriam-Webster. This is legit. It's trimming down by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. Church, it's going to be hard sometimes. It's going to be difficult sometimes. 2018 was tough. 2019 is still going to be tough. But what happens is when you remain in him, you're still going to grow. Right? When you lost that job, but you remain in him, you're still going to grow. When school's not working out, when you remain in him, you're going to grow. When you're figuring how to raise the kids, when you remain in him, you're going to grow. The temptation is to go another way. But when you remain in God, he is in you. He will direct your path, and he will give you everything you need to accomplish what you need to get done. Check this, James 1, verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Whatever trial it is, it could be the trial as small as shoveling the driveway. That's a trial for me. I skipped on that today because I had to get to church. But now there's going to be ice when I get home, maybe. It could be the trial of maybe last week you got in a bumper accident. You got in a car accident. You got to deal with the insurance claims. It could be the trial of not knowing what to do in school anymore. You dropped out, or maybe you got kicked out. It could be any trial, at various trials. We all go through different trials. And guess what? They are inevitable. They are going to come. That's the world we live in. But it's saying here to consider it pure joy. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. When you're connected to the vine, you will be lacking nothing. When you're connected to the vine, you see perspective and you see this Bible says, I need to consider my trials as pure joy because I'm getting perseverance. And the next time that trial comes, or the next time something bigger comes, or the next trial that comes next year, maybe I lost my job this year and I'm going to lose my job next year. That's actually happened to me in 2 years in a row, but I counted it as pure joy. Because I know the joy developed me in the first trial is going to make me more suitable for the second trial. It's going to make me bigger for the second trial. And that's the same thing that goes for all of us when we rely and stay connected to the vine. This is awesome. We're going to get into a Greek meaning. Don't you guys love that when someone says, oh, the Greek meaning of this is so-and-so. And it's like mind-blowing. I did that this time. I normally don't do that. Perseverance. Also known as patience. This is the Greek word, hupomone. That's the word. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right. Hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E with an accent on the E. Check this. It's not a passive waiting, but an active endurance. It isn't so much the quality that helps you stay in line at the grocery store or at Costco. It's not that. It's actually the quality of finishing the race, finishing the marathon, being aligned with God as your dependence, as your source of strength, so you can finish the race that you need to finish. Let's go a little deeper. Say, go deeper. Okay, I will. Hupomone comes from the word hupo, which means under, and mone, which means to remain and abide. So the root word is to remain under. We remain under God. We remain under Him. When something is too heavy to lift, it is so tempting to escape. It is so tempting to travel. It is so tempting to leave and exit. But God is saying, hey, keep holding. Keep holding. I'm teaching you something. I'm teaching you something. You're developing patience. You're developing perseverance. And when the world sees that you're able to handle that, they want to know what you have. And what you have is Jesus, the one who died for you and was resurrected. And we get that same power. Let's remain under the trials. No matter what the trial is, let's remain under God. That's why I think in verse 11, he says, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God gives us a complete joy. Y'all get the keys up. God gives us a complete joy. It's not a partial joy. It's not the joy that this world offers. It's not a temporary joy. The joy that this world offers is quick. When I eat that medium rare steak, it is a quick joy. But then after, I feel full, and then I don't feel joyful anymore. But God's joy is something different. It is out of this world. God's peace is out of this world. When we go through the hardest times, the peace that transcends all understanding comes to rest upon us. And all of a sudden, our behavior changes. All of a sudden, we don't stay moping. We don't stay sad. We get joyful because we're believing that God is going to move through this. We're believing that God is going to take us another level. My man, James Clearance, look at the joy on his face. He's smiling all the time. When you see him at worship, he's smiling because he has the joy of the Lord. I don't know if you have any issues. I don't know if you have any trials because I always see joy. And that is the best evangelism tool. Because when someone meets James and then notice, James, why are you so joyful? Why are you so smiley? Why are you so exciting? Why is it every time I'm with you, I feel life come out of me? Because the joy of the Lord, that's your strength. And that needs to be other people's strength. They just don't know it. And that brings me to my next point. The fruit is not just for us. The fruit is not just for us. I said earlier, the branch depends on the vine to get the fruit. But the vine depends on the branch to bear the fruit. The vine does not produce fruit on its own. Church, God is depending on us to bear the fruit, to tell people about this fruit, to tell people about the gift of Jesus. It is an invitation. If you don't want to do it, someone else will do it. But let me tell you, that's a pretty good invitation that we get to be part of this. We get to be part of God's saving grace in this city. Fruit Samson was producing. Oh my gosh, I wish Samson understood that his fruit wasn't just for him. His strength, his supernatural strength was for the Israelites. He was actually the last recorded judge in the Bible. After that, Samuel appeared, who was a prophet who aligned the next king. So after Samson, there was no more judges. I wonder if Samson was still a judge, if there would be a king. I don't know. I wonder if he remained in Christ, he would have stayed in it. I wonder if we remain in Christ, he would have still been that judge. 2018 might have been tough for all of us. It might have been tough for you. These trials might be difficult. But 2019 is going to be different. 2019, why? Because we're going to remain in Christ. We're going to remain in Him. This year is different. It looks different. It's going to feel different. It's going to be different. Your walk is going to change. Your talking is going to change. Why? Because we're remaining in Christ. Before, we used to depart. Before, it was easy to depart. Before, we were scared, so we departed. But this year is different. We're going to remain in Him. We're going to remain in Him. And we're going to understand that He's given us every tool, every access that we need to rely on Him to do His work in this city. Can we do this together, church? Can we do this together? How good would this be if C3 Toronto rallied together, united for this one vision? We exist to connect people to God. Why do you think we talk about step four? Why do you think we talk about teams all this time? We love teams, but it's not for what you could do for the church. It's what you could do for someone else. We have enough team. This team came in today at 6 a.m. and shoveled the whole sidewalk. The city didn't do that. This church did that. This team did that. They came in early to fill the baptism tank so the water was high enough so when I baptize someone, their head will go all in. That's an inside joke from last time. This team builds the church. We build the church. And listen, you get an invitation. You get an opportunity to be that bridge. If there's a gap between someone in this city that comes to church, you could be that host. You could say hi. You could say welcome. You could put that smile on because they had a bad week. But when they see that smile, it's a game changer. They open up. They're like, who is this person? Who is this church? That's the opportunity we have, church, to be a team. God has marked us to carry on this mission, to give this gift to someone else. His son died for us. And this message needs to be proclaimed from the rooftop. This message, can you imagine if everybody in this church started proclaiming the name of Jesus in this city? We will see this city saved. We will see this city saved. We will see campuses planted everywhere. We'll see James even preaching at a different campus. We'll see him worship leading at a different campus. Because he's growing. The fruit is growing in him. Megan, you're going to start tons of cafe teams on all the campuses. You'll probably start cooking too. She works at Mildred's. She's a really good chef. Now everyone's going to go to Mildred's. Don't go for free food. Emma, you are a special girl. And I'm not just saying that because you opened the door for me. I was locked out of the office and then she opened the door, but then she held the door open. Oh my gosh, this servanthood. She's been at the church office volunteering. There is a special purpose in your life. There is a plan in your life. And I'm so glad that you're at this church because I think as you have aligned to God and you planted yourself in the house of God, you are going to flourish. And he's going to open things out. Whether it's acting, whether it's loving on people, whether it's being that bridge for the gap that are people in this city, the students that are coming in, the young people that are moving in, that don't know anyone, you're going to be that loving person to them. And you're going to bring them into the house of God where they get to experience Jesus the way you have experienced Jesus. I'll end off with this verse in John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus says to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I choose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last so that whatever you ask in my name, it will be given to you. God has chosen all of us, church. God has chosen us to be his disciples. God has chosen C3 Toronto to do the work of Jesus in this city. Will you be a part of it? Will you remain aligned through the hardships, through the good times, through the bad times, through the ugly times? Will you remain in Christ so he can use us? If you could bow your head and close your eyes. We never let a Sunday go by without giving you an opportunity to meet Jesus, to ask him into your life, to let him remain in you. And I'm going to give you that opportunity in a moment. The first person, you've never met Jesus, and today's the day where you say, Jerry, I want God to remain in my life, and I want to remain in him. I want all of him, and I want to do this life with him. I know he has a purpose for me, and I want to walk that out with him. If you're one of those, if you're the first person, if you're the second person that you feel distant from God, but you're saying, Jerry, it's time for me to realign. It's time for me to realign to Christ and to remain in him. You could do that by just acknowledging your hand in a bit. Acknowledging him with your hand surrendered to him. If you are one of those two people, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in faith.